MamaHawksSports.com. You're listening to the Mammoth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
And we welcome you back to Kessler Field, a shocked Kessler Field, where St. Francis leads Mammoth University 38-17 here at halftime. We're going to do a lot here at halftime, some first-half statistics to look at, as well as the look at the Mammoth University athletic scene. Right now, we're going to take a look around the Northeast Conference scoreboard, and that's presented by Coke Zero. It's now time to take another look at these college football scores around the country with your Coca-Cola Zero scoreboard. Coke Zero, enjoy everything. And right now, obviously the game here at Kessler Field, 38-17, St. Francis. In Fairfield, Connecticut, Sacred Heart leads Robert Morris 10-6, 10 minutes to go, third quarter of that contest. Halftime in Pittsburgh. How about this score? Albany 30-35. I got you subs in my mouth. That's the problem right now. Happy sponsor. Albany 35, Duquesne 7. In New Britain, Central 17, Bryant 14. And one non-conference game to get you all caught up on. Wagner 7, Holy Cross 3. Those your scores around the Northeast Conference. We'll take a quick look around the top 25 nationally before giving you for some first-half statistics. I have to scroll forward on the old phone. One score in the top 25. Currently happening also in the state of New Jersey, number 23, Rutgers and Army, all tied at 7, 12 minutes to go, third quarter there. In Ann Arbor, number 24, Northwestern and Michigan tied at 14, 14 minutes to go, third quarter. Number 8, South Carolina, 21, Arkansas, 10, a minute and 30 seconds before halftime. Texas Tech, number 22, is on top of Kansas, 21-14 minutes ago, second quarter there. Florida and Louisiana Lafayette all tied at 3, 18 seconds to go before halftime there. Syracuse all over number 9 Louisville, 31-13 at halftime. Texas 20, Iowa State 7. A couple of games have yet to kick off. Oregon State at Stanford at 3 o'clock. Arizona State at USC also at 3. Baylor at Oklahoma at 3:30. Maryland at Clemson at 3:30. Penn State visits Lincoln, Nebraska. That game at 3:30. Texas A&M at number 1 Alabama at 3:30. Tonight, Kansas State visits TCU. Mississippi State at LSU. Georgia will visit Auburn at 7 p.m. Also at 7, Louisiana Tech will visit Texas State. Notre Dame will visit Boston College at 8 o'clock. Number 3, Oregon will visit Cal at 10:30. And the last one at 10:30, UCLA will take on Washington State. That's your look around the country with the Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. We'll now step out. Two-minute timeout. And then we'll take a look at first-half statistics as well as the other events happening on campus here at Mammoth University. Break right here on your home for Mammoth Athletics, the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Back here at Kessler Field at halftime, honoring those members of the Mammoth University Student Veteran Group on the field right now, as I'm happy to be rejoined by my broadcast partner, Ed Sarluca, Medi Acapinti. Mammoth trails St. Francis 38-17, as we'll take a quick look, and we don't want to do this too long because they're not pretty, at first half statistics in which the Red Flash had dominated Mammoth, outgaining them in total yards, 338-264. The biggest number right now is that John Kelly is 11 of 15 throwing the football for 204 yards and two scores.
Yeah, that's what's impressed me the most of that first half, you know, and the, I mean, let's face it, Mammoth, 264 yards, not a bad effort, you know, and they're on their way to a, you know, possibly 400 or 500 yard offensive display, but got to do something defensively. They've got to come up big. I mean, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, did they punt? Did the Red Flash punt? I don't think they did.
They did not.
So that tells you right there, zero for zero on the punts. And Mammoth only punted once, but it hasn't been turnovers. You know, it hasn't been, you know, the lack of offense. They have put 264 up, but defensively, they've just got to make some big changes for this second half if they want a chance.
Kelly, who's the second leading rusher for this team, hasn't had to do it as much in the first half. Anthony Abide, 4 carries, 75 yards, including a long of 39. He has a touchdown. Keon Wade, who's been ejected for fighting, had 8 carries for 47 yards and a score. And A.J. Alexander, the dangerous player outside, 4 grabs, 102 and a score. And really, they've played well in all facets of the game, and they just seem to be faster and stronger and more aggressive, and that's why they're on top by 21 points.
And I think more into the game. Sometimes it's not who is the better team, it's who has come to play. And let's face it, what is it, 3-4 hour trip here?
If you're flying,
okay, so 5 hours to get here, you know. They brought, you know, quite a few fans with them, you know. They're, you know, equal in attendance almost here, Monmouth and Red Flash fans. So, you know, Monmouth just got to sew it up a little bit defensively. That's what has impressed me. I haven't seen all the games, I will admit it. What I cannot get to here because of my high school schedule, and I listen to you guys all the time, you and Maddie, and, I just don't get the feel that Monmouth is into this football game. Now, could it be they know they're out of the race? You know, they didn't play last week. They're disappointed there. They're disappointed in some of those close losses. And let's face it, Monmouth, if it weren't for a couple of points here and there, would be right in the thick of things.
That's a good point. Take a look at the Hawks' first half. Statistic leaders, Monmouth trails 38-17 here at halftime. Kyle Frazier, 14 of 22, throwing the football, 164 yards. KB Asante had 7 carries for 54 yards and a score. Frazier also contributed 23 yards on the ground. Julian Hayes only 5 carries for 21 yards. Tristan Roberts 5 grabs for 76 yards. And really two things that I look at is the lack of carries that Hayes has gotten, Ed, but also the fact that Neil Sterling, his name is not even on the sheet.
Exactly. That we remarked a couple of times that Roberts, the only one who really has been a key receiver for Frazier today. Sumline got that one down inside the 10-yard line for a big play there. They got the one touchdown. But you're right. I mean, Sterling's been non-existent, and he's out there every down.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was banged up early in the year, and now he's there, and he seems to be healthy, but hasn't really been able to get into the flow of these games as much as I think he would have liked. Joe Johnson, 5 tackles for Monmouth. Jake DeMetal, 6 stops for St. Francis, but you know, you take a look at it, it was 7-0 Red Flash, then 7-7, and then from that point on, they didn't look back until Monmouth cut it to 31-14, and we knew they could run the ball, and they are, but they are making plays in the passing game. It's something you commented to me on in the first half. A lot of these plays, the passes are wide open, and the holes that they're running through up front are humongous.
Yeah, they've scored touchdowns today and had big gains virtually untouched by anybody on the defense of Monmouth. I mean, Abide's touchdown run right up the middle on a straight dive. Now, that's rare when you run a dive and go in untouched, you know, and that was 20-plus yards. I forget exactly what it was. And then some of the pass plays untouched. Now, are they picking on Joe Johnson? It seems like he's involved on the corner there. He's out on an island by himself, but most corners are always on an island by themselves. And, they seem to be picking on Joe. Remember, Joe's only a freshman. He's done a tremendous job and coming off a pretty good game at Duquesne, right?
Played a great game 2 weeks ago at Duquesne. Again, we referenced it in pregame. He played 115 plays in that game, pretty much played every defensive snap, and then he played every special team snap as well. A week ago, I know he had 9 tackles, had a couple pass breakups, and that's the growing pains that will a true freshman corner, hard enough to be a true freshman playing anywhere, then add in a corner in this defensive system, not easy.
Yeah, I'm never going to say that a freshman, a true freshman, does a poor job, because playing at this level, Division I football, you know, playing here, you know, as a true freshman, I give him credit just to be out there and to win a starting job, and he certainly has done a great job, and he will be a great football player for Monmouth in the next 3 years. But, you know, sometimes other people have to step up and, you know, and help out defensively, and not doing that today.
Take a look at some of the other events happening on campus. The fall season is officially resting with the football team now, because both soccer teams' years have been completed. The men's soccer team losing in the NEC semifinals yesterday to Fairleigh Dickinson. Field hockey losing in the NEC final again to Ryder a couple of weeks ago. And the next phase in the athletic calendar, and something you can hear right here on the Shore Sports Network, is basketball. Last night, the Monmouth men's team with a resounding 91-62 win over Hofstra to begin their season. The women's team gets things going, I want to say, tomorrow. And that you can obviously check with GoAmyHawks.com.
Yeah, I think it is tomorrow, if I remember reading the schedule correctly.
Checking my handy-dandy Monmouth app on the iPhone, which really is a huge help for us, especially when you're on the road as often as we are. Again, the men's team started last night defeating Hofstra. The women's team will begin things tomorrow. They visit University of Maryland, Baltimore County. That's a 2 p.m. contest down there. Again, keep it on GoMUHawks.com for the latest there. Huge home win last night to begin the basketball season, which is obviously great for momentum on campus. And the other thing that you have to like, and I'm a little, again, biased because I work at this fine university, but a great crowd last night. Students came out in full force, and I know well over 2,300 people attended the game, which is not only a great sign for opening night, but with everything that's happened around the area, it was great to get so many people in the community out at a game and get their mind off some things for a while.
Well said, Ed. And again, we can't say enough about the recovery efforts that have gone on down here. I know Monmouth themselves, Eddie, and you could expound on this, themselves a rescue area, right?
Yeah, Monmouth University was actually the largest state evacuee area in New Jersey. It was not just Monmouth County residents either. People from all over the state were bussed in here. That's one of the reasons, and we referenced it in the first half, why the game last week couldn't be played. Not only were students off campus for safety, but Boylan Gym and the MAC were it was a resting spot for people who needed shelter, whose homes were gone. And that, again, that was run by the state of New Jersey and by FEMA. And it was not an area and a campus that was fit for a football game. And all the resources that Monmouth had went to helping those in need, and rightfully decided upon by the administration that a football game shouldn't have been played, and the right call was made.
Exactly. And I know in my two districts that I'm closely associated with, Brick, where I live, many of the schools there used as shelters, the intermediate schools. And then, of course, where I worked for, taught for, and coached for 32 years in Toms River, all of those high schools, I shouldn't say all, but Toms River North, the Pine Belt Arena, and Toms River East, all used for shelters, the intermediate school used. You know, it got to the point where they had well over 1,000 people come through there and staying there, and eventually had to, you know, start shipping them around the area. I know some of them went up here to Monmouth race track and set up tents outside, and then have since moved inside because of the cold weather that have hit. So all of the area schools, and I'm sure there are many other high schools that were used as shelters in their specific locations, and just a tremendous effort by, you know, the Red Cross and all the people involved. You know, they were getting donations of food and clothes to the point where they had to stop,
right?
Because they had too much, you know, and that's, you know, you can't say enough about that effort.
And
but
I
anyway,
know.
What do we have to do here in the second half? What about the effort here that, you know,
of action with Monmouth getting the football, trailing 38-17, and they get the ball back. If they're able to put 7 on the board, well, now it's a 2-touchdown game. Now you can start talking things and maybe not having to really overhaul your offensive strategy completely, but right now still in scramble mode, still in really just battling to get back in this game. It'll be Pete Nagy back to return the kick from Teal, who will put his foot into it in a matter of seconds as we are ready for football in the second half. And now that sun in the first half,
yeah, it's
a fall day now. It's November.
You know, I went down at halftime, and I tried to find out some information on Wade, where he went. Is he coming out? Is he on the bus? Did he get a plane back to Pennsylvania? You know, very tight-lipped by the locker room of St. Francis. They weren't doing any talking.
Well, Wade gone. Rodriguez gone. I don't even see him on the sideline anymore. So he's either out of uniform or has left. He's actually, I see him down there in a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
So he's still in the area. He's in the arena.
And we stress the point about Wade is because he was such a significant part of their offense going into this football game.
Teal puts his charge into it. Ball drifting towards the end zone. It will take a few hops and go out of bounds for another touchback. I believe that's Teal's third touchback of this game at least, and Monmouth will get it at the 25-yard line. It's a tough spot right now because some of the crowd here left. It's kind of a quiet, slow day, but if Monmouth can come out, play some inspired football on this first drive, Ed, and get a touchdown, well, then they're right back in the game.
I think they've got to pick up right where they left off. They drove it down very quickly to get that field goal, and right before that, they drove it down, with a St. Francis touchdown in between, but they drove it down quickly to get a touchdown, so let's get something going here, doing some more of the same thing that they ended the first half with.
It'll be Frazier in the shotgun. 3 receivers, 2 right, 1 left. He'll take the snap. He's got Hayes. Shovel pass to George. He's cut down right near the line of scrimmage. Gained a yard and a half at best. And he's put down right there. Tackle on the play. It was a few red flash leading the charge. The one that got off the pile last is a junior. Okay. Lauren, we know we're experiencing a brief technical problems. Next change of possession, we will dial back in. Kyle Frazier flips one over the middle to Sumlin. Makes a man miss near the 35. Over the 40. Over the 45-yard line, and Eric Sumlin with a big first-down play. He's been one of the field hogs that has played really well and inspired this afternoon.
Yeah, his fifth catch of the afternoon, and he's been Frazier's main target today. You know, whether they're using Sterling or whether he's getting it, he's only getting single coverage, Sterling, on the right side right now, but Sumlin's been the go-to guy.
And those two line up to the right. Frazier takes the snap in the shotgun, pressured. He's going to run. He's going to pull it down. He'll pick up about 2 yards over the line of scrimmage, nearing midfield, 14:05 to go, third quarter. And Mamet still trails again, 38-17. But I like that little combination now, Ed, that they have a look with Roberts and Sterling on the outside, Sumlin as the slot man.
Yes, it's good combination. Stay with it.
And as we say that, the broadcaster
leaves the game.
Right. And Thaddeus Richards comes in. Three receivers to Frazier's left. Hayes in the backfield. Takes the snap. Looking right. Throwing right. Wide open is McLafferty. Makes the catch at the 35. And he goes out of bounds at the 34-yard line. That's the Monmouth offense we like to see.
Yeah, McLafferty wide open with that little quick, about a 15-yard out. Frazier sprinted out to the right and hit McLafferty on the run.
The clock ticks down, under 13 and a half to go, third quarter. Two receivers to Frazier's left, Sterling to his right. Little counteraction with Hayes, head of steam up the middle, over the 30-yard line, keeps the legs churning close to the 25. That's a good, solid first down run from Julian Hayes.
Boy, this would be a nice comeback win for Monmouth, wouldn't it?
Oh,
they could come all the way back.
Seven, it would really, you know what? Those who stayed will be treated to a comeback.
Right, and those who did leave, I hope they're tuned in and listen to us call the comeback.
That would be great. I'll take that. Three receivers, two to Frazier's left. Hayes next to him in the shotgun. Frazier keeps it on his own read. Now he flips it out wide to Thaddeus Richards. It'll be a technical run, but Richards will have a first down over the 15-yard line. Inside to the 12. How about that little play design?
Yeah, that was a lateral, as you said, Eddie. That was a run all the way there as Frazier went just about to the line of scrimmage and then threw it backwards, about a 15-yard pass.
It is a Hawks first down.
It's a triple option that doesn't look it because he throws it overhand.
Exactly.
But it does the same thing.
Uh-huh. Get the same results.
Frazier takes the snap, hands to Hayes, runs a man over at the 10-yard line, runs another man over at the 11, and gets it inside the 5-yard line. Hello, Julian Hayes.
Yeah, a little bit more pep out of the Monmouth offense and on the sidelines, I may add, as everybody was into that one. And Monmouth doing what they have to do in this first 3 minutes of this half, taking it the length of the field and trying to get in the end zone. This one started on the 20-yard line, this drive, their own 20.
Second and one from the 5-yard line. Frazier in the shotgun. Might be checking the play here. Takes the snap. Fade for Sterling on the right. Makes the catch. It's a touchdown. One-on-one coverage all day. And Neil Sterling pulls it in. And now it's getting interesting.
Yeah, it was about a 30-yard play for the 5 yards. But, you know, Sterling did a nice job. Might have gotten away with a little push-off there in the corner there. But as the red flash defender there, the corner, was complaining, but great job, great throw by Frazier. Put it right where he had to. Sterling finally on the board with his first catch and first touchdown of the afternoon.
Now Eric Spillane will kick for 24 as Monmouth trails, but this will now be a two-score contest. And MU didn't take much time, 11:57 showing on this third quarter clock. So taking just about 3 minutes. Snap down, spot up for the extra point, kick on the way. And it is good. So just like that, MU back to within 14 at 38-24. I tell you, get the seatbelts on. We have a potential explosive second half of football on the way. Step out for 60 seconds, and we'll bring it right back to Kessler Field, where Mama trails by two touchdowns to St. Francis on your home for the Hawks, the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Lucas Santangelo sends a kickoff into the end zone where Anthony Abide will down it for the touchback. That first drive for Monmouth to begin this second half. 8 plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes, 3 seconds off the clock. Neil Sterling on a 5-yard touchdown reception from Kyle Frazier, who's now 18 of 26 for 207 and a score.
And Monmouth right back in it, but this is where they've got to come up big here because they have been unable to stop the Red Flash offense in the first half. Got to start doing it now.
Kelly will be the quarterback. Two receivers left. They send DeMunkus in motion. Abide the tailback. Kelly takes the snap. Hands to Abide. Makes a man miss in the hole. Contacted a couple times. Gets rocked as he crosses the 25-yard line. It'll be a gain of about 2, but a little more zip to this Monmouth team.
Yeah, that time Abide's broken tackles there cost him a big hit. But he just hops up. He looks like a tough little running back and certainly has done the job today. But, yes, I agree. Monmouth a little bit more into this one so far.
The defensive backfield is actually a little different now, too. Joe Johnson begins the second half on the bench. Jamison Zacharias in at that left corner position. Pistol, not shotgun, for St. Francis. Connolly in motion. Quarterback power play off the right side. Kelly leans forward. Stopped by Danny Sullivan, short of the 30-yard line. And now says something St. Francis hasn't had in a while, third and long.
Yeah, they haven't had many of these at all. And Abide, by the way, had gone off the field. He's coming back now for this big third down play. But with Abide on the sidelines, there's not a whole lot of options for Kelly. You know, it's either going to be him throwing the ball or him carrying the ball. Not a whole lot of running backs in there. They have down running backs, this St. Francis offense.
Wade not in the game again, thrown out in the first half. Third and 8 for St. Francis from the 27-yard line. 10:38 to go, third quarter. Shotgun look, two receivers left. Man in motion is Abide right. Kelly fakes it to Abide. They set up screen all left. Right. It's Ingram. Well done. He breaks a tackle at the 40. Over midfield to the 45, and he's tripped up right around the 42-yard line by Johnson. And that huge third down pickup for the Red Flash.
Well, it didn't look pretty. I know our listeners couldn't see it, but it didn't look pretty at all. And Mama just about got to Kelly, but the veteran that he is, he kept his poise and just dumped it over the defensive line coming to get him. And who was it, Ingram? Excuse me. Ingram did the rest of it and picked up about 30 yards and gets it into Monmouth territory. So big third down conversion by the Red Flash.
Yeah, the defense finally gets him in the third and long, and then a perfect play call from St. Francis. 10 minutes to go, third quarter. First and 10 from the 42-yard line. Kelly calling signals in the gun. Throws it quickly to Alexander on the right. Johnson comes up, makes the tackle. Pickup of about 5 yards, closer to 4. And it'll be second and 6.
Yeah, as you said, Johnson starts the game on the sideline right now, and that is one of the changes. So far, I haven't really noticed any personnel changes to the Monmouth defense other than Johnson.
Yeah, still three linebackers in there. The same 4-3 allotment.
Mm-hmm.
Three St. Francis receivers go formation left, tight end right. Abide in the backfield with Kelly. He sprints out. Louch just misses him. Kelly sprinting to the left sideline. Will make the sideline and be forced out of bounds. Almost contacted late by Sutton. No flag.
Well, there you saw what kind of speed Kelly has as being chased heavily.
We apologize for the brief technical problems. Back here at Kessler Field, Monmouth held St. Francis on a fourth down try. So the Hawks trail 38-24, but they now face a third and 6 from the 37-yard line. Kyle Frazier has three receivers, two to his left. Hayes in the backfield with him. He takes the snap. We have whistles. Got a timeout called defensively by St. Francis. So that'll allow us to keep things right here and get everyone caught up on what's going on. Monmouth down 38-24, 8:13 to go, third quarter here at Kessler Field. And Ed, the comeback, you could say, is on now. They get a touchdown their first possession, then come up with a fourth down stop, but they got to pick up this third down.
Yeah, that fourth down stop came on the Monmouth 35-yard line. So St. Francis was sort of caught in between. Do we go for it? Do we try a very long field goal? Or do we punt? You know, they have yet to punt on the afternoon. They decided to go for it. Came up about a half a yard short. Monmouth got the ball back. So far, two plays have netted them about 4 yards. They come up with a 3rd and 6 here. Timeout, good situation. I think to continue the comeback, and by no means is this game out of the realm of a possibility of a comeback. It's only 2 touchdowns. They've got to get this 3rd down here because now the clock starts to become your enemy. It's still 8 minutes left in this 3rd quarter, but you don't want to waste opportunities.
Like to take this timeout while we have the break on the field against St. Francis. Calling timeout to thank our friends from the Atlantic Physical Therapy Center for their continued support of MU football. Atlantic PT Center with locations in Toms River, Manchester, Freehold, Shrewsbury, and Little Egg Harbor. All of their physical therapists are former high school and college athletes, and they know what it takes to get the injured athlete of all levels back in the game. AtlanticPTCenter.com. Monmouth will come out. 3 receiver look. It'll be Davenport right, Sumlin and Sterling left, McLafferty tight end left, and a stand-up, and Hayes will be the running back. Frazier calling signals, takes the snap, back to pass, pressured, steps up, looking downfield, still looking, and he flips it to the sidelines, intercepted! It's picked off right at the 40-yard line by St. Francis. That's Mike Dennis, the sophomore defensive back, stepping in front of Lamar Davenport, and that time he's got to throw it away.
Yeah, he's been running quite often out of the pocket and being successful by either throwing it away or finding somebody late. That time, ill-advised. I think 3rd down might have had something to do with it because if he throws it away, he's got to punt it. But the last thing you wanted to do there was turn it over with a pick, and that's what Frazier did. So ill-advised 3rd down pass that time. Sets up the red flash. Almost the same spot where they gave it up on that 4th down try, the 35-yard line.
1st and 10 from the 35. Abide in the pistol. Gets the carry up the middle. Makes a man miss. Got 1st down yardage over the 20. And he's brought down inside the 20-yard line. Good burst. Pat Gray in on the tackle.
I mean, Abide has been, you know, I know Kelly's had a tremendous game, but he's been my player of the game so far, you know, with the way he has carried the football. He's done a tremendous job in as a backup running back today because of Wade's disqualification.
No, Wade Dixon's out for the season, so this is the 3rd back in. Doing well. This time gets thrown for a loss. Danny Sullivan in on the stop as well as Andrew Sutton. Didn't make the 20-yard line. It'll be 2nd and long.
You know, you could see where Abide could be a good, you know, 3rd down, sometimes used back. But to go every down, he's being tested this afternoon. That time came up empty on the 1st down carry.
And he's lined up as a wildcat quarterback, a slot receiver.
Yep.
You're right, though. Not an every down kind of carry guy.
Right. Not yet.
Right.
Not as a freshman.
Shot or pistol look rather for Kelly. Hands to Abide up the middle. Met at the 2nd line and he stopped right there in to about the 17-yard line. And that's where it'll be 3rd and call it 8.
Abide the ball carrier.
You know, 3 here would be almost as good as 6, you know, for the red flash because it would put him up by 17 and make it a 3 possession game.
38-24 the lead.
It's important to get some points out of this possession if you're a Red Flash fan. For Monmouth, got to come up big here on this 3rd down and force a longer field goal attempt.
Under 6:30 to go, 3rd quarter. 3rd and 8 from the 18. 4 receivers, straight shotgun look. Kelly in the gun, takes the snap, looking left. Now pressured. Still pressured, he's brought down. That's Anthony McDonough with the sack. Big play by the freshman.
I think that could be our first sack of the afternoon by either team. They haven't gotten to Frazier. He's been able to get his passes off. Now the field goal becomes extra long as they will put the ball down on about the 31, 30, maybe the 32. Now 31, let's call it a 41-yarder.
4th and 14, 5:45 to go. From the right hash.
And
for Teal, Josh Teal.
He's been perfect all afternoon. Field goals, extra points, and kickoffs.
Low snap, gets the spot down. Kick is up. A low twisting effort that is no good. Missed it to the left. And MU's defense holds for the 2nd consecutive possession.
That's a big hold by the Monmouth defense there that time. That kick had no chance. Sort of knuckled immediately off the line of scrimmage. Kept it very low. And it just went wide left. So Teal with his first bad kick of the afternoon.
5:31 to go, third quarter. Monmouth will get the football back, trailing 38-24. Well, now these teams have kind of played a little back and forth, and MU now needs to at least get a score as the offense came on, and then we're told there's a TV timeout. You see Kyle Frazier kind of throw his arms up in the air.
Yeah, those TV timeouts will kill your momentum. I'm not so sure that the referees know where to spot the ball, Eddie.
Well, right
they have
now,
not put the ball down. It should be from where the line of scrimmage on the field goal, correct?
I believe, yes. And in college, it's the line of scrimmage. In the NFL, it's where you miss the
kick. Exactly. So
right.
In college, they haven't put the ball down yet. Do you see the ball on the ground?
the ball is not down. The official actually...
And the chains are set, but I think they're checking to make sure where the ball goes.
Yeah, they're actually going to... Well, this crew has been a little
tested.
Shaky.
They've been tested.
They have put the ball down, and they put it down at the 24-yard line.
Yeah, 24, because it did obviously go through the end zone in high school ball, and, you know, that would have been a touchback and been put on the 20. But in a college and in the pros, as you said, well, in the pros, it's put down where you kick it from. And in college, where the line of scrimmage was. Now, yeah, Monmouth might have made a yard on that.
Every
because
bit helps.
It was kicked from the 31, right?
Right.
I think it would have been back a little more on the kick.
They kind of met in the middle. Three-receiver look for Monmouth on a 1st and 10 from the 24. Frazier takes the snap. Looking over the middle. He's going to scramble now, being pressured. Kyle will get outside the pocket, and I think gain at least a yard, maybe two, as he keeps it in. That time, good pressure being applied along the defensive line by Asalemo Fruin.
Yeah, that's what Frazier's been able to do. He's been able to bide some time on those scrambles. They've put a good rush, St. Francis has towards Frazier, but as I said, unable to get him down on it for a sack, but been able to push him into running situations.
Frazier takes the snap, 2nd and 10, flips it into the right flat. It's caught by Asante, makes a man miss, and he's tackled right around the 30-yard line. Pick up of about Frazier's 7. It'll be about 3rd and 4 with under 5 minutes to go.
Well, it's been almost 2 full quarters since we've seen Asante.
Yeah, it seems as though
back in there.
He got the whole first, and then we saw a lot of Hayes, and now back to KB.
And Hayes also this whole half, and now we're back to Asante.
He'll be the back here on 3rd down. Frazier takes the snap. He's looking his way. He throws it to Asante, and he is, I believe, going to be short. He's about a yard and a half short of the marker, Frazier's and it's just at about the 34-yard line, Asante. Even shorter than the 33. Decision time here for Coach Callahan.
I don't think the decision is one that you have to make. I think you got to punt it. You got to punt it here. You're only down 2 scores. You've got a quarter and 4.5 minutes to go. You can't turn it over there and give the Red Flash another chance inside your own territory. You got to punt it.
Well, Coach, I'll ask you, fake and play here if you see what you like?
No, I don't think so. I'm punting it all the way here.
So more to punt.
Pandorf back as the protector, right?
DeMonkis, that's correct, back to receive. Moore will punt it. A wobbly duck effort that'll be fair caught at about the 43-yard line. So MU didn't gain too much field position on that. 4:07 to go, third quarter. The Red Flash get the ball back up 38-24.
Yeah, well, that's one of the ones where you got to boom it, you know, and you got to get that 50-yard punt to make the coach look good by going for the punt, you know.
You got to flip field position somehow.
Exactly, and right now St. Francis takes over just outside of Monmouth territory, so not a good effort that time by that punt.
And the pressure again on the defense, and they have a 4th down stop, and they forced a missed field goal already in this quarter. Kelly, how about this? How about a little double pistol set? 2 running backs behind him in the shotgun. Takes the snap. He'll hand off to Abide. Breaks a tackle. Another one near midfield, and he'll surge forward close to 1st down yardage.
Yeah, that time Kelly was back about 6 yards, and then he had 2 backs, the fullback and Abide behind him. So, like you said, a double pistol. And it worked because he picked up almost 10 yards,
9,
second and about. No, they give him the.
Well,
they don't know.
The chains, they get the first.
They did give him a first. They gave him a 1st down.
Well, so now the chains need time to move, first but down. The officials are just going to kind of let him go on the fly. Ugh. Abide takes the handoff in the pistol about 3 yards over the 45-yard line, 3:30 to go, third quarter. I thought when the chains moved, you got to at least stop action in the clock till they do move.
Well, in that case right there, now I don't know if they ever knew it was a first down.
Yeah, we never got a signal.
Nobody signaled it.
The same thing like we saw earlier. Yeah. We didn't know if that one pass in the first half was complete or incomplete.
And, you know, as announcers and play-by-play and color guys, we look for the referee signals.
Right. As
to
much as
let
we call,
us know what's going on.
Right. We'll call what we see, but we need to be sure. Second and 8 for St. Francis. Kelly, shotgun look. Play action. Flips it into the right flat to Connolly. Makes a play, got a nice block on the outside, and he'll be close to first down yardage
Kelly's
again.
Pass complete to Connolly.
He's been a nice little weapon out of the backfield for St. Francis.
Yes, he has. He's scored on the afternoon.
Gray makes
on a
tackle.
Same kind of play, that pattern right there, that little back out of the backfield. So, big down right here. They bring the big guy in. Here comes the 400-pounder.
Has he been out the whole time?
No, he's been in and out, okay. But he'll back in now.
I wish people could see that. I've never seen a jersey stretched like it is on number 79, Lloyd Hill.
There's a few X's before the L. Let's put it that way.
Third and one. They hand to Ingram. Contacted right near the line of scrimmage. Second effort will give him first down yardage. Ball came out, but they rule it down. But it should be a first down for St. Francis at the 35-yard line.
Yeah, it was the second effort that got it to the 35, and that's where he only had to go to the 36.
And
there goes Hill trotting out again.
Like you said, he's expended more energy coming on and leaving the field.
Yeah, exactly.
First down.
Just leave him in the middle. Just don't move.
By the way, have we seen the local product, Lorenzo Coscarelli from RBC yet? I don't believe he's played any defense. I've been looking for him on the sidelines.
I don't think he's played yet, but their linebacker depth has been tested. So we'll see. Kelly in the pistol, gives to Ingram again, counteraction to the right. Keeps the legs moving, takes on a couple Monmouth defenders, and he'll be down right around the 31-yard line. I'll tell you, on a much, maybe a lower level, Ingram's been impressive
in
his time carrying the football.
I'm sure he has not, you know, if we look at the yearly stats, he hasn't probably carried the ball too much, hasn't been called upon to.
But only a sophomore.
Local kid from Linden, right?
Right up the parkway.
Yep.
80 seconds to go, third quarter. It's still a 2-touchdown lead for the Red Flash. Abide behind Kelly. They hand it to him. Goes off right tackle. Luma will bring him down at about the 28-yard line, where it'll be third and about two, maybe three, for St. Francis.
St. Francis, now we've hit a little low here in this second half after the Monmouth touchdown, and that's playing into St. Francis's hand. Because they're about to run out this third quarter here on this possession.
Yeah, under a minute now. Ball control here for the Red Flash. Three receivers, two left, one right. They send Abide in motion. Kelly fakes the jet sweep. Player at his feet. Breaks a tackle at the 25. And he'll have first down yardage to the 23.
Yeah, nice play that time by Kelly, as you said, Eddie. They faked that jet sweep. They really haven't run that jet sweep too often. I think maybe once in the first half. A lot of the fakes have come off of that with Kelly keeping the ball and carrying for good yardage.
They'll have to run another play. There's about a 6-second differential between the game clock and the play clock. So the Red Flash will come out. Three receivers. Same look, two left. It's Abide right. Kelly sends him in motion. They fake the jet sweep to him. Back to pass. Throws it over the middle. It's complete. And that's DeMunkus who makes the catch for first down yardage down to the 11-yard line.
Yeah, DeMunkus has been kind of quiet since that 97-yarder. And that time they went to him. And that will end this third quarter.
That'll get us to the fourth and final quarter of play with St. Francis not only driving but holding a 38-24 lead. We'll step out 60 seconds, and we'll come back with the fourth quarter of action here on your home for Monmouth football, the Shore Sports Network.